We have this hope after these things, these promises of God. You know, I could go back to 2 Peter 1 again, but remember those things. Read 2 Peter 1 to yourself. Memorize it for yourself. Whether I go there and read it or I recite it for you, it doesn't make a difference. Do you know now the promises? Because when you believe in those promises, that's what allows you to partake of that divine nature, of the hope. And that anchors our soul. You know, I always talk to my wife about, at times, I feel crushing difficulties come on me. Things that would really rip me apart inside, where I feel very tried in my soul. I've had some gripping things happen to me in my lifetime. But there was always, I would say there was always a thread of faith that I held on by a thread. And I saw it as like a thread, you know, like barely holding on, but I'm still holding on. I always said how strong that thread was. Like, I felt like it couldn't be broken. And I realize now when I read this, it's not a thread. It is an anchor. It is an anchor. And the chains are strong. And it is heavy. And though the winds blow and the waves rage and all the things of this life come about me to trouble me, the anchor cannot break. It is so strong. We fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope. Lay hold. The idea of laying hold on hope to me is like, that is the anchor, the hold we have on that hope. People lose their faith. I can't lose my faith. There have been times I've wanted to lose my faith. I want to just quit, but I couldn't. I couldn't. It is not in me to give this up. Even when the most trying doubts have come to me, I couldn't let go of it. At times I felt, God is so quiet. You know, that all that I think He says to me could just be my imagination. But then I remember that day when He put the Holy Spirit on me. I know that wasn't my imagination. That was something else. So He gives things to, you know, He gives things to us that make the anchor strong. Both sure and steadfast. Stable and secure. Which enters into that within the veil. That within the veil. This idea of the veil. In the Jewish temple, there was a veil that separated the area from which the normal people, the men, could come. And then there was a veil behind which only the high priest could go. And behind that veil was called the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was in the temple. You were not allowed to go back there. The ark was there. The mercy seat. You know, the things that men were not allowed, but only the high priest into the Holy of Holies. By the, you know, this anchor, this strong consolation we have, enters into the holiest place of all, right where God is, so that we enter where God is, as only the high priest could. As only special people could, we now enter in. Every high priest taken from among men, remember in the last chapter, they are ordained of men and things pertain to God, but this Christ, who is ours, enters in for us and brings us in with Him. And we grow up into Him and become His brethren. And we get to be heirs of the same things He is heir of. We sit down in the throne as He has sat down in the throne. We will rule them with a rod of iron as He will rule with a rod of iron. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's already go ahead. He's our forerunner. He's come ahead of us. He's running ahead of us. We follow after Him. Follow me, He said. We become conformed to His image, so that we also may enter because not just anybody can enter, but those for whom it is given, or to whom it is given, or who God so chooses. The high priest was not just anybody. It was somebody God chose, as Aaron was chosen. Christ has been chosen, and he has chosen us. We are his elect. And therefore, we will become conformed to his image and be worthy to enter into the place where God himself dwells. Forever after the order of Melchizedek, we will comment on that when we do chapter 7 next time.